Morning, 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 family, morning, family. Let's give the Lord a big hand, church. Amen. Can I have all y'all stand up? I want to say hello to all the campuses and everybody watching online. God bless you. Excited for a good Sunday. Hopefully your Sunday's been good already. Was that a powerful testimony we had? Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on. I would ask all of you to just ask God every day to open your eyes to who's around you. There are people in your life who are smiling and even successful, but they're dying inside. And a simple question like, how are you doing? And then wait and listen and ask God to reveal to you what you need to say next. Amen? It's easy for me to say don't be scared to share your faith. The devil does not, he wants you to talk about everything else. It's a spiritual battle. And so just open your mouth and say, how can I pray for you? Jesus loves you. Can I invite you to church? Something. Just throw a lifeline out to people, because we have the only answer to people's pain is the gospel. And God gave it to us to steward it and manage it, not to hold it to ourselves. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for how you change people's lives. I just pray that we would leverage that power for the benefit of people who are dying right now, who are lonely, who are lost. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a big hug next to you, big high five. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 15, Romans 15. There is a book called The One Thing. Everyone say The One Thing. One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. It is all about helping you identify in every area of your life, your marriage, your finances, your education, your career decisions. What is that one thing that if you can do that one thing, it will make everything else in that part of your life either easier or not even necessary? Now, a lot of people try to multitask, and multitasking doesn't work, basically. You can only focus on one thing. I did a simulator on a fighter jet, and in the Navy, they let me get in a simulator, and you're actually flying a jet. And if you have an emergency, a woman's voice comes on and says, "You are about to die. Please prepare to eject. Prepare to eject." And it's a woman's voice because guys will stop everything they're doing to listen to a woman. This is a true story, true story. Because when everything's going wild, if the woman talks, we go, okay, what is she saying? Because you can only focus on one thing. And so here's the thing. If there was one thing we all can do to get our life on track, I would say is reading the Bible. If there's one thing you could do every single day. We're in the third message of this message series called Unspeakable Joy, and not happiness, because happiness is based on conditions, where joy is based on the presence of the Spirit in you that goes with you wherever you go, no matter what the conditions outside are. And we talked last week about reading the Bible as the one thing that can help your life get right. Now, you may say, well, I think prayer is the most important thing. Great, I'm not gonna argue with you. Or I think, you know, serving people, great, I'm not gonna argue with you. But I would tell you that if you read the Bible, you'll learn how to pray. It'll help you see people who pray. If you read the Bible, you'll get wisdom about how God acts for and against people who are for and against him. If you read the Bible, you'll see role models on how people live a godly life, how they deal with trauma, how they deal with pain, how they deal with attacks and gossip. The Bible is the word of God, is the rock upon which we stand. And so last week I started talking about the benefits of reading the Bible and four times a week. Now I would tell you, read it every day, because once you skip one day, the devil says, well, just skip another one. Skip another one. Next thing you know, a year's gone by, and you're like, dang it, I was supposed to read four times a week, and now it's Christmas, and you started in January. So I would just tell you, read it every day. I have a compulsive personality where if I do one thing, I just go, 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 go. And if I stop, I'll stop, 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 stop. Like when I travel, I'll listen to the same song for the whole 5-hour trip. I just like over and over and over and over again. But if I stop, I'll end up doing something else over and over and over again. And so it's better for me to just go full bore at something versus try to do a bunch of things. But I will tell you, we're gonna talk about four more things. Last week we talked about four things and benefits of reading the Bible. Today we're gonna finish the last four, but I wanna review. Now, the whole goal of this is that you would read the Bible every day. So here it was, read the word every day, that you would make that commitment. Now, last week I asked a bunch of y'all to stand up and say, I wanna read the Bible every day, and a lot of y'all stood up. I'm sure some of y'all weren't here, but here's the goal, is that you would read the Bible every day. Just read one chapter. Every day. One chapter, depending on what book it is, will take you 3 minutes. And then read it again. So read the Bible and then decide where you're going to read it. Everyone say, where are you going to read? Say, where are you going to read? Say, when will you read it? Say, when will you read it? And then what will you take notes with when you read? Because when you read the Bible and if you listen, God's going to speak to you. I was talking to a buddy yesterday and I was like, telling him, hey man, I'm doing a study on apologetics. I want you to ask me some questions that you're dealing with because he has a lot of non-Christian friends. And he says, well, my non-Christian friends say, if God is real, why don't he just show up and speak to us? I was like, bro, his name was Jesus. But if tell your friends, if they sit quietly for like 10 minutes and turn their phone off and turn the TV off, and say, God, speak to me. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. Matter of fact, in 2 weeks, we're starting a series called Beyond Reasonable Doubt on apologetics. 2 weeks from today, let me tell you, you won't be here. Just be here. But God will speak to you. So if you sit there and read, and now here's my challenge to you, that if you sit there and read and pick a space, a place you're gonna read, a time you're gonna read, you've got your Bible and something to take notes with, whether it's pen, paper, or your phone or whatever, and you say, God, I'm gonna read, speak to me, guide me, direct me, I got a problem, I got a situation, I got a relationship, I got a decision to make. And you sit and place yourself in the presence of God, he's everywhere, but you acknowledge that you're in his presence. He will speak to you. Can I get an amen? Okay, so it's early in the morning. If you are saying, listen, I want to do that, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up in 10 seconds. I'm going to ask you to stand up. So get your legs ready. Get your legs ready. If you're saying, listen, I want to read the Bible every day. I want God to speak to me. I'm going to ask you to stand up to your feet. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead. Stand up. 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 Okay. All right. Listen, everyone sit back down. You need the leg exercise. Sit back down. Sometimes when I go places and I have altar calls that I think are too big, like I'm like, are y'all really for sure? I have them sit down, then I have them stand up again. So we're gonna do it again, but here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be thinking about anybody around you. If you stand up, you stand up, not because of peer pressure, even though, and do I believe some of y'all would do that? Absolutely. You stand up because, no, I am making a decision. I'm gonna read the Bible every day, even if it's one verse. I'm gonna crack that book open and read it and listen to what God says to me. And I am confident God is going to change my life. So if that's you, say amen. Amen. Stand up. Let's go. Stand up. Straighten those legs. That body's right. Come on now. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, church. Come on, church. You may be seated. Service is over. If a pastor came to church and said to you, how many of y'all know one thing God is telling you to do and you're not doing it? Everybody probably raised their hand, I would imagine. How many of y'all got something in your life that God's telling you to do and you're not doing it? Just raise your hand, all y'all. There's some things that y'all raise your hand real enthusiastic about, and there's some things y'all like, you know. If you simply left church every day with a commitment to deal with that, your life would change. It really would. So we're gonna talk about 8 things, but I just want you to pick one thing and say, I'm gonna go do this. The one thing for today is you're gonna read your Bible and you're gonna start today. Don't start, and by the way, when you read it tomorrow, I would encourage you, don't wait till the afternoon. Don't wait till after dinner. Do it first thing. Why? So you can get that wisdom to guide the rest of your day. Don't try to do your day and then read the Bible just as a check the box. You want to read it, God, give me wisdom for today. So let's review from last week. Number one, we talked last week, regular Bible reading reduces stress and promotes mental health. We talked about this last week. Please watch this sermon. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have those who love your law and nothing causes them to stumble. I'm not going to go over it, but that was next week. Imagine how better your life would be if you had mental clarity. Number two, regular Bible reading strengthens relationships and marriages. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, 25. By the way, fellas, it says love your wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died. He died. He didn't boss around. He died. So yes, women, you're supposed to submit, but fellas, you're supposed to die. And if you lay your life down for your wife, she has no problem submitting because she knows she can trust you with her life. It's simple. It's simple. And by the way, we have a marriage getaway this week. We have 45 spots. If your marriage is struggling, we want to give you a help you financially. And better if you can't afford the conference, the getaway, we want to help you out. So you can go out to the booth after in all the campuses, ask the pastor about that, and they'll tell you how to get partial scholarship. Number three, regular Bible reading increases empathy and forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Imagine how easier your life would be if you forgave whoever you need to forgive. Because if you're carrying unforgiveness, I'm gonna move this water. If you're carrying unforgiveness, you're walking around like this. Carrying this burden that you think is hurting the other person. Your unforgiveness is not hurting them, it's hurting you. Let it go. Let it go. And as I said last week, some of y'all are physically ill because of your unforgiveness. Some of y'all are emotionally ill because of your unforgiveness. You got a matter of fact, I'll read some of them. Constant stress weakens your immunity. Emotional burden, depression and anxiety. It brings on depression and anxiety. Internal bitterness, inflammation, physical inflammation, chronic pain, aging, hardened heart. How many of y'all want to look younger? Say, I forgive you. Because if I'm hating on you, I'm getting old and crusty. So I don't want to get old and crusty. And then I'm going to get mad at you because it's your fault that I'm getting old and crusty because I'm mad at you. Oh, what a demonic cycle. Unreleased anger, hormonal imbalance. Let me tell you something. When your hormones are jacked up, you jacked up. And heart disease. Let it go. Number four, regular Bible reading improves decision-making and self-control. How amazing would your life be if you could make better decisions? So that was last week. This week, four more. Number five, reading the Bible boosts hope and resilience. The American Bible Society 2002 State of the Bible report found that people who read the Bible frequently, four times or more a week, report higher levels of hope and personal meaning, especially during hardship. One of the reasons I accepted the Lord is because I saw an athlete blow his knee out and still have hope. I was like, he was laughing, he was happy, and he just had surgery. And I'm thinking, it don't make sense to me. It don't make sense to me. He had hope. The Bible says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hope is an expectant desire. Anxiety is an expectant disaster. When you walk around going, I'm not going to get the job, you're probably not. Because you're going to walk in there, you're not going to hire me, are you? You're not going to hire me. Instead of walking in there, I am the best candidate you have ever seen in your life. And if I don't get this job, there's another one coming. And you better get me now because someone else is going to get me. Fellas, you want to get a woman? Walk in confidence. Walk in confidence. Don't think, hey, you would never date a guy like me. She probably like, you're right. When you read the Bible, you see how God backs up the people that trust him. Whenever you read the Bible, you're reading narrative stories. The whole Bible is a narrative. It's a story. And in every narrative, there's somebody who is God's friend or promoting God's agenda. And then there's someone who's God's enemy, Satan's friend, who is opposing God's agenda. And all these conflicts, the plot of the story is the conflict between God's friend and God's enemy. And all the stories in the Bible, Samson and the Philistines, Moses and Pharaoh, Esther and the king, David and Goliath, all these conflicts, which I love the Old Testament because they have all these stories, but it's a story about someone who's promoting God's agenda, whatever it is, and someone who is opposed to God's agenda, and the conflict, the plot is the conflict. And if you ever read any of these stories, God is always the hero. We are never the hero. So when you read the story, you get to see how God acts, how God responds when people trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish boys were told to bow to a 90-foot idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And if they didn't bow, all they had to do was do this to save their life. And if they didn't bow, they got thrown in the fiery furnace. The furnace, you're gonna burn up. I gotta believe the worst death is burning. And all they had to do was do this. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you the man, you the man, you the man. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, who's the man? Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. That's all they had to do. And they said, we ain't bowing. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, do you know who I am? I will turn this fire up and throw you in the fire. They said, King, look, you do what you got to do. This is all in Daniel chapter 3. Do what you got to do, but we're not going to bow to your idol. We only bow to one God. So they turned the heat up four times. They took them to throw them in the fire, and the dudes that took them to throw them in the fire, they got burnt up and died. So they're like, they die. Think about this. They're throwing me in the fire. They're behind me, pushing me. They get killed, K-I-L-T. I'm fine. The Bible says they fell in. And I believe, I wasn't there, obviously, but I believe they jumped in. Because if I'm getting burnt up and I'm dying, how am I pushing you in there? But I believe they saw it. We didn't get killed then. We ain't going to get killed now. The Bible says they got in. And the Bible says that the Son of Man was in the fire with them. Jesus was in the fire with them. Come on, come on, come on. Why is this important? Because when you read the Bible, and you see these stories and you look for what is God, how is God acting? What is he doing on behalf of his people? If he did it for them, he's gonna do it for me. The Jews walked 40 years through the wilderness and he gave them water out of rock. He gave them meat from birds. He gave them bread. Their sandals never wore for 40 years. Well, if God sustained them, he'll do the same thing for you. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't know that story. Matter of fact, when we do this series on apologetics, you're gonna realize that a lot of stuff you're being told about the Bible is absolutely wrong. A lot of stuff you're being told about science is absolutely wrong. A lot of things you're told about who you are, where you came from, is absolutely wrong. It's just wrong, it's just a lie. And if you don't read the Bible and know that, you're gonna walk around believing a lie, and your whole life is gonna be based on a lie. And so read the Bible every day, it will give you hope. Number six, if you read the Bible every day, it strengthens your identity and reduces loneliness. Evidence Barner study found that Gen Z and millennials who engage in scripture reading report less loneliness and a stronger identity. If you go on your phone, it could tell you how many hours you spend on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is y'all do, TikTok, Snick Rock, whatever it is, y'all got all these different things. And how many likes do I have? I got 500, I got 1,000, I got whatever it is. All these people that are looking at you, and all these people you're looking at, all these people you're texting and DMing and all that kind of stuff, and yet people are lonely now than ever before. Why is that? Because that don't satisfy you. It's like when two people get married. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Jerry Maguire. You might not know the movie, but you may know this line, "You complete me." That means if you're a half person, which means you're jacked up, and he's a half person, which means he's jacked up, you figure if we come together, we can make a whole person. No, you don't. It's a half couple. It don't work that way. Only God does that. Only God can complete you. 1 John 3:1, see what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. The first thing the devil did when he tempted Jesus, the first thing he said was, if you are the Son of God, challenge his identity. If the devil can get you to question who you are, you're not a child of God, you're a failure. You're ugly. You're just a second class, blah, 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 blah. You're not dumb. You're never going to graduate. You're never going to do anything. God's not going to listen to you. If the devil can get in your head about your identity. Oh, by the way, they told you you're a woman. No, you're really a man. Let me tell you something. If you feel like you're in the wrong body, I can't imagine. I can't, because I don't feel like I'm in the wrong body. I can't imagine the confusion that would, and hopelessness that would give you. Please, before you start having them operate on you, giving you hormone blockers, chemicals that they give to pedophiles, that you sit down before God and say, God, you show me. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is about confusion. God wants to give you life and life abundantly. That is the ultimate satanic attack, to take someone made in the image of God and say, not only are you not made in the image of God, you're in the wrong body. And then send you to someone who's gonna do surgery on you and change you forever. By the way, there is no turning back. Don't let the devil trick you into that. And think that once that change has happened, you're now going to be fulfilled. Oh, your life is going to be so different. Read the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit reveal to you how you were made in the image of God, how God loves you, how God has a plan for you right now in the body that you have, that God has given you, and a great destiny for your life versus a destiny that some doctor is going to tell you is going to fix you and help your heart. It's not going to happen. Number seven, regular Bible reading aligns you with God's purpose for your wealth and your money. Now, I am not at all saying that if you follow God, you're going to be wealthy, but you will be rich. You will be rich. What's the difference? You can be rich in faith, rich in peace, rich in contentment. There's a verse, Proverbs 23:5. They don't have it there. I'm just going to say it to you. Proverbs 25 talks about people who don't follow God. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you get a raise and then your money's gone? You get a bonus and your money's gone. You get a savings plan and then your money's gone. Everybody notice that? And you get the raise or you get the new job. It's like, oh, I'm going to make so-and-so. I'm going to make this much. I'm going to make this much. And then you got more bills than you had before. Why? Because God has not allowed you to enjoy your money because you have not allowed him to manage it for you. You know, people who win the lottery and they don't have God in their life. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not even saying you have to have God to enjoy your money. I'm not saying that at all. But if you follow God, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:11, wealthy gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. God wants to bless your finances. What does that mean? God wants you to enjoy it. You can make the same money. Matter of fact, you can make even less money and be more happy. Because the amount of money is not what's going to determine how happy you are. Now, I'm just sure a lot of y'all are going, well, can I try? You know, nice houses aren't going to make you happy. Well, I sure would like to try that out just for a little bit. I was watching someone on Instagram yesterday where it had millennials complaining to their grandparents about, Grammy, I had a stressful day. She said, oh, just go cook some food. She's this old school. When I had a bad day, I just kept cooking. When I had a bad day, I went to work. And this one guy says, when I had a bad day, he said, you're having a bad day, grandson? Try to get a mortgage. Carry a mortgage. Do you know what even that means? HOA, principal and interest, property tax. I mean, you're talking about having problems. You're thinking of good money. Federal, state, local tax. If you read the Bible, you're less likely to have credit card debt. How many of y'all would love to not have credit card debt? Come on. I'm trying to help you out. You're more likely to save money consistently. How many of y'all would love to save money more consistently? I'm trying to help you out. More likely to give generously to both religious and non-religious causes. How many of y'all would love to give more generously? Okay, I'm gonna help you out. More likely to budget and plan for the future. How many of y'all would love to plan for the future? That. More financially content, even with less. Can I get amen? I was rewriting my living trust, and the lawyer, she said to me, we were talking about, you know, my retirement and blah, 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 blah. And she says, you better spend it, because if you don't, your kids will. I was like, it just like hit me in the head. I want to enjoy it. Read God's word and see what God says about money and finance and wealth and retirement and being generous. When you give, the devil will tell you that's just less for you. God's saying, no. I can't put in your hand a bigger blessing until you give me what's in it. I'm training you to be generous. I'm training you to be a conduit, because whatever I give you is not only for you, it's for somebody else. When God encourages you, he wants you to pass that encouragement on to somebody else. When God gives you the gospel, he wants you to pass it on to somebody else. It's not about me. It's about how can I bless people through you. You heard the testimony of Victor. I led him to the Lord in 1988, and he's been out there blessing kids and being a man of God in front of all these football players for decades. So how does God want to bless you with something that you can pass on to somebody else? Reading the word. And by the way, when you read the word and God starts to shape your heart and God starts to open your eyes up, that he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know if you know that verse, but the Bible says that God owns cattle, which back then was wealth and money, on 1,000 hills. But it gets even bigger than that. God owns the earth that the hills are on. He owns the universe that the earth is in. He owns all that. And so we walk around with this poverty mentality. I don't know how I'm going to get pennies. God says, listen, if you just trust me, I can bless you with way more than you could ever ask or imagine. But it's not just for you to be greedy. It's for you to be a blessing. But you got to read the word. Number 8, regular Bible reading leads to life transformation and positive habits. Imagine how easy your life would be if 50% less likely to get drunk. I was literally going in a restaurant the other day, and this guy was walking out like this. I hope he wasn't getting in a car. I almost grabbed him and said, hey, let's talk. But he probably wouldn't have got it, because he was like, hey. But 50% less likely to get drunk, 68% less likely to have sex outside of marriage. If you are married and you have sex outside your marriage, it's never going to work. Period. And that includes pornography. Because your brain doesn't know the difference between real or Memorex. It's not going to work. I know y'all see all the videos about the guy from the Coldplay conference. I'm sure it's all y'all see. Perfect example. Don't cheat. And so I'm just don't take this statement that you should never cheat, but you're going to cheat in public? That brother ain't reading the word. It's not going to work out. You are 68% less likely to have sex outside of marriage. So that can protect you. 61% less likely to view pornography. Pornography rewires the neurological pathways in your head to prevent, and which in turn prevents you from bonding with your spouse. The devil's not going to tell you that. He's going to tell you, no one knows what you're doing. It's going to be between you and the screen. And by the way, you're never going to meet those people. You're never going to do what you think in your head you're doing in your head. Those people aren't thinking about you. A lot of them are drugged up. Trust me, it's a whole dark world. And, And by the way, now when you look at your wife or want to get married, your brain has now a lessened, diminished, damaged ability to even bond with that person. By the way, sex is more about bonding than pleasure. Because God, Bible says, when people get married, two become one. God unites you as one, and the sex is the opportunity for you to actually experience that bonding and establish that bonding. He wants to bond you to your spouse. He wants to bond you. And when God, when the devil has you watch pornography, he inhibits that ability to be bonded. That's why you need to have your mind renewed so you can have your wife and your husband rewired into your brain. If you read the Bible, God can rewire your brain. If you watch pornography, God, the devil will he will rewire it to inhibit your ability to bond. And 74%, if you read the Bible, you are 74% less likely to gamble. If you gamble, you will lose. It is designed to take your money. It is designed to take your money. Everyone say it with me. It is designed. Say it one more time. You are not smarter than the system. The reason Vegas exists is because people are not smarter than the system. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the thing. I want to challenge you to read your Bible. In a minute, we're going to have opportunity to submit to the living word. It's one thing to have the word on paper. It's another thing to have the living word in our heart as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have all sinned, and we basically said, I could do it myself. I don't need to read a Bible. I don't need to pray. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to serve. I don't need to give. I got it. A sinful mind is all about self. You could be as nice as you want to be, but you could still be about self. My granddaughter, she's two, and she's just wonderful, and she's talking a whole lot. And she talks in partial sentences. And one of her partial sentences is a one word, self. Self. She wants to do it herself, me. Matter of fact, I said, where's Jordan? She says, right here. But it's all about self. The devil wants you to be about yourself. God wants you to be about him. And all this is great, but when the living word lives in you, when the living word abides in you, when you are submitted to the living word, then the written word becomes more alive in your life, and those two things affirm each other. And now you become a walking Bible. A lot of people won't read the Bible, they'll read you. And when they'll see something in you, they'll say, maybe I should read the book, because I want to know why they do what they do. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have opportunity to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. I believe that I'm a sinner, that I pushed you away, ignored you. And I believe that you died and rose from the dead for my sin. And I want you to forgive me. I want you to transform my life. I don't want to be the same anymore. I want to read the Bible. I want to give, I want to serve. I want to be what you want me to be. I don't want to have this schizophrenic identity where I'm kind of Christian, but I'm not. I go to church, but I don't follow God. I believe in God, but I'm not submitted to God. That's confusion. That's what the devil wants. Versus, I want to be focused. One thing, I want to read this Bible, and I want to be transformed by it. And if I'm transformed by it, it won't be no problem for me to talk about it. Won't be no problem for me to obey it. Won't be no problem for me to start living like the people in the Bible who trusted God. So I'm gonna ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, thank you for all the people who stood up and said they want to read the Bible every day. I pray you stir their hearts to actually do it. Even today, they will identify the place and the time where they're gonna read. They can just start reading anywhere, but start in the book of John. Read one chapter. Read it two or three times. Write down notes. Let God speak to you. Do it every day. Don't take a day off. Do not take a day off. Don't do it as a religion, but do it religiously. Every day. Discipline. You eat food every day. You breathe every day. You go to sleep every day. You go to the bathroom every day. You can read the Bible every day. But there are some of you in here, you may need to establish or reestablish your commitment to God. And you want to surrender your life to Him. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. Even though I am a sinner, and I believe the penalty of my sin is death, but I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, I confess my sin to you. Please forgive me. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Now, you might have prayed it because you want to ask Christ to be your Savior for the first time, but there may be somebody in here, you're saying, listen, I just need to get right with God. I need to reestablish my relationship with God. I don't want to walk out of here guessing. I want to be fully committed. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if that's you. If you prayed that prayer for any reason, on the count of three, stand to your feet. One, two, three, stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing, just come out of your seat, come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Church, let's give them a hand. God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. Just face me. Just face me. There you go. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just face me. There you go. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. God bless you. 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 Hey, man. God bless you. 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 Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'm going to tell you a little secret. God bless you. When I'm preaching, God highlights people in the audience. He goes, look at that guy. And I keep looking at that. Look at that guy. Look at that guy. And then they come down here. I was looking at you. I don't know what's going on with you. And I don't know what's going on with you. And God said, that guy, that guy. And I'm like, okay, are they listening or is God getting them? God bless you. 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 This is all about relationship. God wants a relationship with you just like a friend, because the Bible calls us, says that He's our friend. He's also our Lord. He's also our God, but He's our friend, and He wants to bless you. And so we're going to talk to you about how to develop that friendship, and through that relationship with Him, He's going to transform your life. As long as you know He's not an equal to you, He's God. We do what He says. The quicker you do what He says, the quicker your life changes. But if you start saying, well, God, I think I know a better idea, shut your mouth, because you don't. Amen? Amen? Lord, thank you so much for these people. Thank you for their decision. Thank you for their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.